Isn't it great to be able to show up at church and sit wherever you want? It's fantastic. So is there any of you that officially sit now where I sat you for the last 7 months, like you change? No, you went back to where you were before, right? Man. Well, last week we celebrated Easter. What an exciting a celebration, remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ, celebrating all that took place that week. And the very foundation of our relationship with God, of our future. What an exciting time. I have a question, and I have candy for anybody that can answer this. Does anybody know what happened on the next Sunday, 1 week after the resurrection, without Googling it or anything like that? All right, so I realize that you guys can't see. I was sitting there looking at them through the bushes. Anybody know what happened on the first? Nobody gets candy? Do what? Pentecost? No. John 20:26 says, John 20:26 says, a week later, the next Sunday, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." So 1 week later, we see this whole interaction between Jesus and Thomas, and some very critical things come out of this interaction. First of all, Thomas is able to verify that Jesus is who he says he is, and then Jesus makes this statement that really is a projection into the future that says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And that's where we stand today. We don't have the ability for him to come in and us touch him and feel his wounds and see his face. What I find fascinating about kind of the post-resurrection narrative is we know that Acts then kind of unlocks the development of the church as the gospel goes out really into Jerusalem and Judea and throughout the rest of the earth. But if you think about what happened between the resurrection and kind of those events unfolding in Acts, and they're very important and they're very mysterious. And if you go to Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 1, you see this is a book written by Luke, and he says, "In my former book," he's referring back to the book of Luke, the gospel. He says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up with heaven. After giving instruction to the Holy Spirit, to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom." A lot of times we forget about this. It's just kind of a blip. And that Jesus resurrected, some of the Gospels kind of roll right into the ascension, almost like it happened the next day or a couple of days later. But Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples after his resurrection. There are a lot of things that can be frustrating about Scripture. And to me, this is one of them, is the lack of details about what happened in those 40 days, because it would be so helpful for us as a church. And the one thing that we do know is that Jesus took a group of men who were in complete disarray. They were confused. They had disbelief. And he transformed them into men who would die for the gospel. That they would give everything they had and risk it all for the gospel message. Whatever happened in those 40 days was significant and powerful. And then after those 40 days were over, Jesus met with them one last time. And we take a look at that in Matthew 28:18. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus gathers his disciples one more time after kind of this 40-day boot camp that says, you saw all the miracles, you saw all the teaching, you saw everything we went through for 3 years. I died, you were confused, I rose again. He spent 40 days saying, now here's the plan. And he meets with them, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus took 40 days to help establish them in their newfound faith and then commissioned them with the task of taking the gospel to every corner of the earth, taking the gospel and making disciples. And as a church, we here at Trinity, actually the church as a whole, there are a lot of things that we do, there are a lot of great things that we're a part of, but the one thing that the church is founded on is about making disciples. You cannot get away from that. When Jesus is about to leave, he commissions these guys and says, be about making disciples. Making disciples, what does that mean? It's a process, basically, that takes someone who does not have a relationship with Jesus, introduces them to Christ through faith in his death on the cross, and then helps them to grow and understand Christ and themselves, to grow in their faith in such a way that they can then become disciple makers themselves. And here at Trinity, we are committed to making disciples. Sunday morning services, small groups, Bible studies, retreats, and events all have disciple making at the core. Everything we do that has the purpose of we all, wherever we're at, if you're here this morning and you're trying to get some questions answered about who is Jesus, what about this Bible, how is it relevant to my life, if you trusted Christ 40 years ago and have served as an elder and led Bible studies, all of us, at wherever we are at, need to become more like Christ and to grow to become a disciple that will then replicate more disciples. And all of these programs that we do are designed to help with that process. Wherever you're at, to help you move along and become more like him. All of these programs are what I would call internal disciple making. I just kind of made that up. That's not anything official. But they happen within our church structure. All right, we have services and Bible studies, and they're designed within the context of those people who show up here to have a disciple-making process. But Trinity is also committed to disciple-making outside of church, or what I would just call externally. Our external disciple-making partnerships all fall underneath our mission program, which we call One Mission. See, it isn't that we just partner with a bunch of people that have different missions and different things that they're trying to accomplish, and all these agencies are just doing whatever they want. But all of our partnerships are answering the call of disciple making. We have different partners, but they all fall underneath this one mission. of making disciples. One mission is committed to providing real help and hope to real people in real ways. It's a simple little phrase, and that our mission program is just designed simply to provide real help and hope to real people in real ways. Our partnerships have basically connected they've connected disciple making with providing tangible, real world help in areas like education and sponsorships and helping those in poverty with life skills training and resources to be able to provide for themselves and their families. There's this real help and a real way for real people that's connected to this idea of helping them to know Jesus and to become disciple makers. So we currently, at Trinity, we currently allocate 16% of everything that's given goes towards our One Mission program. This money goes to help support local mission organizations, national staff in foreign countries, U.S. staff that help facilitate global missions. Once the world reopens and we get to go on mission trips again, it pays for all in-country expenses for the whole mission team. This past year, the money that we had set aside for mission trips was given to our global partners to help with the financial impact of the COVID pandemic. 16% of everything that you give goes to help children get an education, helps to reach middle school, high school, and college students with the gospel. It helps those in poverty find a way out. It supports single moms. It provides solar power to missionaries who live off-grid. It trains pastors and church planters, and on and on and on. All of this happens because there are people. There are people within our church. There are people around the world who have listened to Jesus' call and answer with their lives. And they build relationships and the process of providing real help to real people in real ways. And through that, they gain a platform for which to make disciples. And this morning, I want to just take just a moment to kind of unpack for you who our mission partners are. And I have given you some information in your notes section. So I figured I wanted you to be able to not have to worry about writing anything down. And so there's a little bit of information about our mission partners in the notes section. You may be looking at that going, hey, what if I want to take notes? Well, we kind of took all of the space, so sorry about that. But we have three categories of missionaries, of mission partners. The first group that I want to talk about is our Lafayette Mission Partners. Our Lafayette Mission Partners are organizations and groups that exist and minister here in Lafayette, that their home base is here, and their target audience is people here in Lafayette. And the first one is Young Life. Some of you guys may not know what Young Life is. I know many people who are here at Trinity were deeply impacted by Young Life as a student. And Young Life is an organization that reaches middle school, high school, and college students. And you can see they're weird, that's for sure. That picture was taken pre-COVID because I have some funny ones where everybody's got a mask on except for like the one rebellious kid. You know, he's trouble. One of the great things about Young Life is Young Life's mission is to go where they are. All right, go where they, you will hear them say that over and over and over again. And as we live in a time where schools have become a little bit protective, and as a youth pastor 25 years ago, I used to be able to pull up to a school, go on campus, eat lunch with the kids, hang out, It was amazing youth ministry. You got to know students. Well, churches have been slowly kept away from doing that. And Young Life has a different platform because they aren't directly connected with a church. They are a community organization, and they have the ability to enter into, to get to know and build relationships with students who would never step into a church, who would never engage a youth ministry at different churches. And so they go where students are, and they gather tons of kids who are far away from Jesus, and through relational ministry, they begin the process of disciple making. Young Life is an exciting, it's been around for since the 60s, I think. I could be making that up. Young Life is they have middle school clubs, they have high school clubs, they have ministry at UL, and we have a lot of Young Life staff and volunteers that attend Trinity here, and they call us their home, and out of our ability and as a church to build into them, they are reaching into the lives of area schools, which is exciting. And then we have four other local mission partnerships that I would say all are kind of similar, but come at things from a different angle. And that these other four mission partners really reach into kind of the under-resourced community in Lafayette in some form or fashion. And the first one is the Bridge Ministry of Acadiana. The Bridge Ministry of Acadiana has gone through a process of several different phases of what it looked like, but it was birthed out of Trinity. Nelson Warner and Keith Rodriguez are kind of the key guys that have pushed that ministry, and they did some research, and they picked a neighborhood, and they said, this is one of the hardest neighborhoods in Lafayette, and we want to do what we can to help bring the gospel and transform lives. And so the Bridge moved in, and they began to get to know people. And they desired desperately to help kids graduate high school. One of their main desires is to help curb the dropout rate. And so they have tutoring. They currently are tutoring with Holy Cross Church School, and have after-school programs, and really just coming alongside families and supporting them and saying, we want to help your kids get through school, and we want to help them get an education. And in the midst of that, disciple-making and building relationships and entering in and engaging these families. The area that they minister in is right off the Four Corners area of Lafayette. And it has become such an impact in the area that city people refer to this area now as the Bridge neighborhood. And because of the Bridge ministry that's there, it's kind of almost renamed what that area is referred to. Another one of our partners is New Hope Community Development of Acadiana. New Hope Development of Acadiana is run by John and Chris Newman. John Newman was the small groups pastor here for a while. And John and Chris, they have targeted the Azalea Park neighborhood, which is kind of close to the Four Corners area as well. And they engage in tutoring kids, some of the similar things that the Bridge is doing. One of the things that New Hope has really tried to become more aware of, and it impacts how they do ministry, is how do at-risk experiences, how do traumatic experiences, when you're a child and there's certain trauma that you are exposed to, how does that impact your development? And that when they can step in and say, we want to provide a loving environment, that there is way more to that than, oh, we just want to love on kids. They are battling against these traumatic things that kids are exposed to. John and Chris have engaged the school districts and helping to train them in how to identify kids that have had these at risk or these traumatic experiences, how to help build into them. They've working with UL. They've got all kinds of things that are going to help to engage these families with these issues and help them to begin to experience freedom from that, for them to be transformed, and in the midst of that, discovering Jesus. And then another one of our Lafayette mission partners is Living Hope. Living Hope, started by China Harrison, is committed to helping single moms. And China has created this environment where single moms can come and they can discover and learn how to thrive and through fellowship, education, and they help provide essential needs for these moms as they go through the process of getting ready to either getting ready to have their babies, or that they've got young ones at home and they're trying to figure out how to do that on their own. Very powerful ministry, very needed support as these moms get this from Living Hope and also discover Jesus in the midst of that. And then the last Lafayette mission partner that we have is Escape from Poverty. Escape from Poverty was started by Linda Longclose, who originally was a part of helping the bridge get started. And she has specifically kind of honed in on helping people who are in poverty learn the skills that they need to understand money and finances and jobs to begin to escape the cycle of poverty. And so they have classes, and they have financial counselors, and through that process, they are helping people to discover that they have dignity, that they have purpose, and that in the midst of that, this faith-based approach provides them with life and financial skills. They too as well provide common household items for participants as they work their way through the program. So all these five organizations are working throughout Lafayette all the time, ministering, trying to make a difference, trying to engage the community and provide real help to real people in real ways while engaging the gospel through that. Second category that we have is just what I'm calling friends and family, all right? And we have friends and family that when you come to a church that values missions, you may be sitting in the crowd and one day you go, oh my gosh, God is calling me to go do something. God is calling me to go minister in some form or fashion somewhere. And that their passion was kind of ignited here. And so we step beside those people and support them in their journey. One of our friends and family mission partners is Melanie Rogers. And Melanie was on staff with Campus Outreach here at UL. She was plugged into Trinity along with the other staff. And God called her to go to Brazil. And so she's doing campus outreach ministry in Belo Horizonte. I don't know if I said that right. In Brazil. And it's a campus ministry. It's a huge campus, and they just do campus ministry, and they take the gospel to college kids in Brazil. And then our second one is Brittany Renault. And Daniel is Kim and Tammy Renault's son. And Brittany and Daniel went on staff with Chi Alpha, and they're in Louisiana. They're at Louisiana Tech, and Daniel has rolled off staff and is doing some other stuff. And Brittany is still working with college students at Louisiana Tech, and they seek to build relationships with college students and share the gospel and help to build them in their faith. Our last friends and family category is Kevin Kellenberger. And Kevin Kellenberger grew up here at Trinity. He got a vision and a passion for missions. Kevin went with New Tribes Missions to Papua New Guinea, and for 4 years was there. And as God kind of directed his skill and how he's wired up and how he could best use those for the kingdom, God has placed him in a department that's off-grid tech is what it's called. And so they work on creating solar-powered units to help missionaries who are living kind of off-grid. And New Tribes Mission rebranded themselves, and they are called Ethnos 360 now. And off-grid tech is a associated department with that. And Ethnos 360 is committed to translating the Bible in mainly Papua New Guinea for so many tribes that don't speak the same language and have no scriptures. And so they have these guys that go in, they're off-grid, big-time off-grid, and then Kevin's organization comes in and helps set up solar power electricity so that they can best accomplish what they need to accomplish in getting the Bible completed, translating, so then they can present the gospel and start a church in that tribe. It's really exciting and very unique kind of ministry that Kevin's doing. And then our third category is what I'll call our global mission partners. Our global mission partners are people that we have connected with that are from other countries that are committed to making disciples, and we have decided to step alongside of them and to help support them financially and with trips and whatever we can do to help them win in making disciples in their communities. Our first global mission partner I want to talk about is our sister church in Pico, Haiti. And did we get stuck? There we go. This is Pastor Calixte and Dorval and his wife. He is the pastor of the church in Pico. This small picture is Dan Shoemaker. Dan Shoemaker is the director of RMI, and RMI oversees our church partnership there in Haiti. And Pastor Calixte is a area director in his denomination, so he's discipling and training other pastors. One of the exciting things is that there has been some super exciting things going on in Haiti in the midst of COVID, which has really brought hard times on a lot of third world places. They are growing and they are having to build a new church. And so they sent us a video that I want you to see right now as they talk a little bit about that.
Exactement bon nouveau temple Gounia.
We are right now standing close to the new church construction.
Son projet qui était là longtemps depuis en 2012.
It is a project that we have since 2012.
Frères et sœurs l'église ont contribué en pile.
Our brothers and sisters in the church already contributed a lot to build this.
Et mais Gounia c'est bloc n'a posé parce que nous venons nous on avait un frère l'église là qui fait nous 2000 blocs.
Right now we are laying blocks because a brother in the church provided 1000 blocks for us.
N'a prié bon Dieu pour nous venir.
We are praying God so that we can have more blocks.
Ça fait 2 ans depuis nous pas entré.
And it's been 2 years since we have not gotten chance to have you.
On a prié bon Dieu l'année prochaine pour nous là, pour nous venir, pour nous entrer dans l'église.
And we pray next year when you come down, you can be worshiping in the church with us.
Même Jean-Paul Dieu fait provision pour énergie solaire, l'a fait provision pour nous finir l'église.
The same way God provide a solar system for us, and I believe He will provide for the church as well.
Ça comme une requête de prière.
Please pray for us about that.
Que bon Dieu bénisse.
May God bless.
humbling how often they think about and pray for us. They love you guys, and they care deeply about this church. And so it's exciting to know that God is blessing the ministry there. The money that we give in Haiti helps support the church. It helps support national staff with RMI that help facilitate all the church partnerships and some of the U.S. Support staff on this side. Our next global mission partner I want to talk about is Mission Housing Ministry. MHM works in Comintancillo, Guatemala. They oversee a Bible Institute that trains pastors who will plant churches in their parts of the village. They also minister to widows and orphans. They have a lot of hand-up scholarship programs, and a hand-up scholarship is basically providing something for them that's designed to help them in a business way, that you give them some animals so that they can start a business of breeding animals and selling them to help them begin to engage out of process out of poverty and provide for their families. This is the national staff at Mission Housing Ministries. Ovidio is in the center on the left. He's the director, and his son is kind of director in training, I think. He does a whole lot of the team stuff now. And then these two over here help with sponsorships, and I forget his name on the far right. But they are the team on the ground. They live in the mountains of Guatemala. It's the Mayan culture that is there, and they love those people well. They have an eye clinic. They like I say, they train pastors. It's basically a seminary that they have. And then they engage the people and help provide for especially widows and orphans. They have a huge problem of all the men leaving and coming to the States to get jobs and supposedly send money back to the family, and they usually don't ever show back up. So there's tons of these women that have no men. They've got grandma, aunts, kids. They're all living in these tiny houses trying to make it work. And Mission House has stepped right in the middle of that to show people what Jesus looks like if he was to show up personally. Our other one is Hope for Burundi. Hope for Burundi is Peace Nirumbere, is helping to rebuild the lives of those affected by the genocide in Burundi. And she was a survivor of the genocide. She started the Home Care Center, which provides sewing training for these women. Upon graduation, they get a sewing machine, and they are able to start a business again to provide for themselves. John and Diane Cruz found Peace and what she was trying to do and stepped beside her to help her win. And John and Diane used to come here to Trinity. That's how we got connected with them. And God has a great partnership that has developed over that time. Then we have a partnership with Crossover Global. It used to be called Crossover Communications. They all rebrand themselves all the time. It's hard to keep up with their names. But we partner with Crossover, and they help train church planters throughout Central Asia. Our original partnership with Crossover started out in Moldova. I almost forgot what I was going to say there. Started out in Moldova, and many of y'all know Fyodor, and he has come and spoke here on this stage several times. Fyodor is no longer with Crossover, and the work that we were partnering with in Moldova really got shifted. Moldova is kind of an open country as far as U.S. people traveling there, and the ministry got shifted into Central Asia, and it's really vague because this is actually a picture of Isaiah in Moldova, But the ministry there, it's closed. It's a closed country, and these people are engaging church planters like crazy. By the hundreds, they are planting new churches all across these closed countries in Central Asia, and God's doing some amazing things through that. Our last global partnership that I want to talk about is Change Agent Network. And I want to ask Eric to come up front. Change Agent Network was founded, and the director is Eric Wowo. Many of you guys have met him. If he didn't accost you when you came in the door this morning, he will probably catch you on the way out. But just to tell you a little bit about Eric. Eric, his life was peaceful and stable until a brutal war broke out in Liberia in 1989. When Eric was 12, he was captured by rebel fighters. They beat and tortured him, and he was miraculously saved. He left his country and became an international refugee. As a teenager, he lived in and out of refugee camps in many different countries in West Africa and got separated from his family for 20 years. In 2002, when Eric was 23, a Nigerian friend and Christian brother gave him a computer, and he learned how to use that computer and began to train other refugees from all over the continent of Africa, which eventually impacted the lives of many across the world. In 2006, he relocated to L.A., and he thought that was Los Angeles, and he got off the airport, and it was Louisiana. And he said, L.A. looks really weird. And he was dropped off here in Lafayette to begin his new life through a resettlement program through the U.S. government. So he arrived in the U.S. with no luggage, no passport, no ID, no phone, no money, no home, and no friends. And by the grace of God and with the help of many, he established Change Agent Network, an international nonprofit organization that is contributing to the world in many big ways and transforming Liberia through education. We happened to meet Eric when he walked in the door one day trying to round up some money. And Tim said, well, let me take you out to lunch and we'll talk about that money, and his partnership developed. And so Eric has been stuck in Liberia for a year. He went to visit. COVID shut down the world, and so he is back. And so I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of time just to hear from Eric and tell us, Eric, how has COVID impacted Liberia, and what have you seen happening there?
Good morning.
Number four, are we on?
Hello.
There we go.
Good morning. Well, I bring you special greetings from Liberia. I came back from there about 3-4 weeks ago now. When I came back, it was so strange. Everything changed. It's like 20 years of history unfolding in 1 year. You know, so everybody in Liberia said hi to you. But COVID was very, COVID did not kill a lot of people in Liberia, by the way. It was the hunger and the fear of COVID that killed a lot of people. Liberia went through the Ebola crisis in 2014. So a lot of people learned very quickly from the beginning from that Ebola crisis as to what to do with COVID, or how to deal with it, like social distancing, washing hands, so people knew exactly what to do. So, but when the whole country got shut down, you could not even leave your house to go visit your neighbor. There's checkpoints everywhere, except for aid workers, humanitarian workers, journalists, and healthcare providers were allowed to travel. I went to Liberia about a year and a half ago thinking I was going for 1 month. I had no idea it was going to be a year plus. And I had a green card that's supposed to allow me to stay only for 6 months outside the U.S. Then I have to be back in. But I stayed for a year plus. So when COVID took place, things was really hard. Farmers could not, in Liberia, we live day by day. There is no long-term planning. You know, you give us this day our daily bread. That's it, you know. So when you shut people's lives down, for 8 months, they can't go to work, they can't go to farm, they can't do anything. There's no stimulus check, there's no COVID relief package. You know, people die. So there was a lot of problems. And around that time, Pastor Matt called me up. he texted me. He's like, hey, we think about you guys in Liberia. What's going on over there? And I responded, we needed rice desperately. And through your help and generosity, we were able to get enough supplies of rice. We supply all our teachers, 200 plus, in 6 different communities, and people stay alive. I don't know of a single person who died of COVID. I myself also contacted it later, although there was no testing center. We have no ventilator in the whole country. No healthcare system in America. They say the healthcare system is overwhelmed. And over there, you don't even have it before it's going to be overwhelmed. You know, so there's no healthcare, but it was by the faith, the grace of God that we all kept alive. So I just want to use this time to tell you thank you so much. Trinity has been there for the past 11 years. What we do in Liberia is that we build Christian schools to break the cycle of poverty and bring about sustainable development and the hope of the gospel to people.
So one of the things that Eric has been able to do is he's got a lot of different people that come alongside them and support them in different ways. And he was telling me that a business has donated 8 buses, and so they're getting these buses one at a time and shipping them over. And they've shipped 3 over, and they've got the 4th bus that they're ready to ship over pretty soon. And he started thinking about what were the needs, and you told me that when you were talking to people in Liberia and you were asking what is the greatest thing that you need, tell everybody what everybody told you and how that connects with the bus.
So after COVID, we've been shipping containers last 11 years, so we ship over 17 containers with computers and different supplies. It never occurred to me that the Word of God, the Bible, was something we needed to ship. So after COVID, when I visited most of the schools in rural Liberia and the churches in rural Liberia at each of the school, the number one request almost everybody made to me was, please, when you get back to the U.S., please ask our brothers and sisters to send us some Bibles. And I'm thinking, Bibles, you don't want food, you don't want, he said, yeah, send us some Bibles. And one lady told me, she said, you know what, when COVID came, we thought we all were going to die. Listen to the news, you know, America, you know, what's happening in Europe and America. In Africa, literally, we're just waiting for us to die. But God took care of us. In churches in Liberia, like a church like this, maybe 5 people in this church will have a Bible. The rest don't have access. And most of the schools are built in rural Liberia, where there are no bookstores, and the Bible costs around $10 to $15. And the daily wage in Liberia is $3, so that's almost a week of savings to be able to get a Bible. Even if you have the money, you're not going to find it. So they came up to me and said, please send us some Bible. So I said, okay. And we have Young Life in each of the schools, and we have other community ministries, the teachers, the students in the school, and the Young Life camps. So I said, okay, I will think about it, and I will pass the message across. So I came here. In Lafayette, we have a gentleman who donated 7 school buses. Most of the schools that we run have buses. He donated 7. We shipped 4 2 years ago, and we had 3 left. So God gave me this idea of filling those 3 buses that remains with Bibles and ship them back. So we call it the Bible Bus Project. You know, so the goal is to gather all the used Bibles. Like I always said, America has a lot of leftovers. So we want to gather the leftovers. If you have a used Bible at home, it doesn't matter if you wrote in it or you highlighted whatever. We love you to give us those Bibles and give an extra $3, please, to help us cover the cost of the shipping of the Bible. So we are taking used Bibles. To get a brand new Bible would be $5. We're actually going to spend $3 to buy the brand new Bible, and $2 would be used for shipping. When the Bibles get to Liberia, they'll be distributed to Young Life camps and to the teachers and the students in our school and community members. So, yeah, that's what's going on with the Bible Bus Project. And we are hoping by the second week in May to have those buses on the way to Liberia. You know, yeah.
Awesome. Eric's got a ton of stuff. We could take a whole hour and talk about what's going on in Liberia. So we have planned a lunch. And so if you don't have lunch plans, we're going to be in the Student Center. We've got some Jason's Deli coming. And so you can meet us at 12 back in the Student Center, and Eric's going to talk a whole lot more about what's going on in Liberia, give maybe some of you guys a chance to ask some questions. So we would love for y'all to join us for lunch and hear a little bit more.
Please, we'll be looking forward to seeing you. There are a lot of videos. You want to know the connection, Trinity, Liberia, Young Life. you know, what's the connection there? We have a lot to talk about, so I'll be looking forward to seeing you there.
Thanks a lot, Eric. Thank you. So you may be asking yourself, what can I do? What is my part? Yeah, the church gives 16%. So when you give to Trinity, you are contributing to one mission. But I want to encourage us all to think this morning about what specifically should my response be to one mission, to Trinity's mission program. And it's simple. There's three words that will help you remember: pray, pay, and play. Pray, pay, and play. Pray for these ministries. Pray for the local ministries. Pray for our friends and family. Pray for our global mission partners. One thing that I would like to encourage you to do is if you go to the Trinity website and you click on missions, there's profiles for each of our mission partners. And I have done the best job that I possibly could to create an easy way for you to click on a link that will take you somewhere where you can subscribe to their newsletter, so that not all of them have newsletters, but most of them do, so that you can get regular updates straight to your own email on what's going on, so you can pray regularly for these ministries, praying for the work that's being done here in Lafayette and around the world. Secondly, not only pray, but pay. Not only when you give, there are other ways that you can get involved financially. Many of our Lafayette partners have needs for household items. They give household items out as a part of their classes, or as an encouragement for people to engage and stay committed. And so many of these ministries have needs for household items and gift cards and different things like that. And many of you know about our mission sponsorship opportunities. And so there's an insert in your bulletin that has the mission sponsorship opportunities. Some of you guys have engaged these. This is a very simple way to make a very specific direct impact. All three of these. And there's one for Haiti and Burundi and Guatemala. In Haiti, for $32 a month, you can support a kid to go to school. Most of the kids are in PICO. I think almost all of them are in PICO or the surrounding area. Some of the kids will actually attend the church that is associated with our sister church. $32 a month provides tuition, uniforms, school supplies, hot lunches, and it is a life changer. Many kids can't go to school because they just can't afford it. And so for $32 a month, you can support a kid in Haiti. We talked about the sewing program that they do at the home care center in Burundi. And for a $350 donation, you can sponsor a woman to go through that program. And that takes her all the way through the program. It provides food for her while she's there and provides her with a sewing machine when she graduates. It's a terrific way to get directly involved with somebody specific. And then a $60 donation will provide a needy family with a pig and food for that pig so that they can begin to create a business out of just simply having a pig that they can grow, they can sell, they can then buy more pigs and sell those and provide for their family. So a $60 donation would provide for a family in Guatemala. So we have a table out in the lobby after church is over. I want to encourage you that you can sponsor a kid in Haiti, sponsor a lady in Burundi. You can give a pig in Guatemala, and there's a box where you can help fill the Bible bus. And so, as far as the Bible bus goes, there's two ways. Bibles are $5 that buys the Bible and ships it. So if you want to just drop, if you want to buy 10 Bibles and you just want to drop $50 in there, you can do that. Or for the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a collection bin where you can bring your own Bibles. If you bring Bibles, they speak English in Liberia. Mark some verses. Put a note in there. Because when somebody gets that, you will be able to have a huge encouragement to somebody that gets this Bible in their hands. And Eric was saying that a $2 donation will help ship that Bible if you bring a Bible that is used. So there's all kinds of ways that you can kind of pay to get in the game. God has blessed us in so many ways financially, and we need to learn how to and continue to pay that forward. And the other is play. Not only do we need to pray, but we also need to play. And that's just simply get in the game. Figure out a way to get in the game. Many of our Lafayette partners, I talk to them all the time, and I say, what is your dream? And they're like, we're here, and we would like to be here. And I say, what is your major obstacle from being there? And they say, volunteers. They say, people who are passionate about what we're doing and come alongside of us to help us expand our reach. And so some of these may speak to you. And you may say, I want to get involved in that. I want to get in touch with the people that organize these ministries and begin to get in the game. I want to, you know, you can help tutor classes. You can help plan events. You can help buy supplies, cook meals, teach classes, all kinds of things that you can do to begin to plug in. God may be speaking to some of you, or may have been, to start something unique. You see a certain group of people that just is on your heart, and you need to start something new and gather a few people around you to get involved with disciple making in that area. And once we're able to plan trips again, we go to Haiti and Guatemala regularly. We go to Burundi and Liberia whenever the travel is available. But whether it's externally with one of our local mission partners, I mean our mission, global mission partners, or internally by volunteering for children's ministry or leading a small group or Bible study, if you have decided to trust Christ as Savior, then we all need to live a lifestyle of making disciples. That we all need to decide to get in the game of making disciples, whether it be internally, whether it be externally, within the local mission partners or international mission partners. We all need to find a way that we'll be about making disciples. You can see a quote at the top of the page. Bill Bright, he was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, and he said, as you love God and serve Him, you will undoubtedly experience the greatest adventure life has to offer. And I firmly believe that. Let me pray for us. God, this morning, I want to come before you and pray for every single one of these mission partners. We have heard a lot of information, a lot of different people that are committed to making disciples and bringing real help to real people in real ways here in Lafayette and around the world. God, we want to pray for them. We pray that you will help them to stay strong in the midst of obstacles, that you will help them to begin to reboot after COVID and begin to get back to the ability to reach into their target audiences. God, we pray for all of our mission partners here and around the world, God, that you will draw people closer to you, that people will listen to your call and answer with their lives, that they will become a part of making disciples, and that they will share their own faith story, that they will build others up who can then go out and share with others. God, we thank you for every single partnership and how they have a relevance and importance for who we are and how you have drawn us to them. We thank you for that. God, we pray that you are glorified in the midst of all that and that many come to know you because of our partnerships. And we just pray this in your name. Amen.